All right, shalom, shalom, everybody.
Shalom.
We're going to be looking at what they call the New Testament, which is really the Renewed Covenant. And we're in John chapter 1, verse 3. But just for the sake of reading, I'm going to read all three of the first opening verses of this wonderful book. Our brother Yochanan, being inspired by the Most High Yah, gave us the gospel according to Yochanan, and it looks at our Savior Yahushua in a light that oftentimes is overlooked, especially by the people in messianic circles and things like that, and a lot of Christian churches have a very misguided conception of Yeshua HaMashiach. And so this is what I want to talk about today. I want to try to help us see a concept concerning our HaMashiach that is often misguided or misunderstood in our religious circles. Let me say this. There's a thing called the Shema, and it's the it's a passage of scripture in Deuteronomy that we are to remember and know by heart. What's the actual Deuteronomy chapter?
6:4.
Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah, your Elohim, is one. Somebody look that up. I want to make sure I have it right, because this is going out 12 tribes worldwide, the family of Yahuwah, those who are bloodline as well as those who are adopted into the family. Amen. So the one concept we must understand, Zion, is that we only serve one Elohim, and his name is Yahuwah.
Amen.
We only serve one. There is no such thing in scripture of what we call a three-in-one God. And I know that's what the churches teach. I know that's what the Bible teaches. But, I mean, not what the Bible. I know that's what they teach us in Bible school. But the fact of the matter is there's only one Yah.
Amen.
Who has revealed himself in at least three ways. Are you with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Not three different gods that make up one God. Mm-hmm. Do you get that,
right,
Zion? We're not talking about a Papa God and a Son God, mm-hmm, and like this Holy Ghost God that together they make up Super God. When they all put their rings together, they become one big powerful God. No, man, that's not the picture of the Bible. The picture of the Bible is there is one Elohim, one master, one creator, and his name is Yahuwah. And the most important part of the Yahuwah is Yah, the Y-A-H sound in English, which is the Yod and the He in Hebrew. When we open the Holy Manuscript, the very first picture we get of Yah as Elohim is creator. It's the very first picture we get. Mm-hmm. Everybody should know that verse by heart. It's the first verse in your Bible. In the beginning, God, or Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. If we don't know nothing else,
you know that.
That is the verse we ought to have under our belt. It's the first one in the book. We're supposed to memorize the whole book. So at least we got one verse. We got a long ways to go, y'all. A lot of verses in this Bible. It says that the earth was without form, and it was void, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Yah, or the Spirit of our Elohim, which hovered over the face of the water, brooded literally, came face to face with the face, put his face so he could literally see himself if he was looking into the face of the deep. And Yah said, let there be light. So right there, you see Yah, one Yah, in three different ways of three different expressions. You see him expressed as Yah Creator, right?
Yeah.
You see Yah Spirit. You see Yah's Spirit. You get that? Not a separate spirit, but the Spirit of Yah. It's Yah's Spirit was hovering. Watch this. And it was Yah's words that said, let there be, right? So we ain't talking about three gods working in cohesiveness or in commune with one another. We're not talking about three gods that are 100% the same in essence and being all that kind of stuff. Whatever the church is trying to say, and whatever the messianics, and a lot of people get this messed up. Matter of fact, we have some what one of my buddies called some non-messianic maniacs, because they don't believe even in a Messiah, because they don't want to believe in what they call two gods.
Right.
But it's just stupid, because I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that we only have one Elohim, but that Elohim has chosen to reveal himself as the Creator, as the Word, and as his Spirit. So sometimes we see him operating, watch this, we see him operating as Creator, but never without his Word and without his Spirit. As a matter of fact, they never, ooh, I'm saying something here, ooh, if you catch this, you're going to be long ways. You never see Yah acting independently of his Word and of his Spirit. How can you act differently of your Word and your Spirit and still be Yah? So Yah's Word and Yah's Spirit always has to be in agreement with Yah, because Yah's Word is his words and Yah's Spirit is his Spirit. So his Spirit must agree with him. His Word has to agree with him because it's his.
Amen. That's good.
So we open the Bible with one. The churches, even though they don't admit it, they've created three. I'm trying to tell you. I'm not talking about in their speech. I'm talking about in their behavior. In their behavior, what they have done is they have said, we got this. We started off with Papa God. And he ended up being an old, mean, cruel dude with a bunch of laws, rules, and regulations. And he was so tough that if you broke one, he struck you down with a lightning bolt. He was mean and vindictive and angry. He didn't understand. He wasn't patient. You better be glad you wasn't under him. But then he got with Miriam by his Spirit and had a little baby boy. And this boy grew up totally opposite of his daddy. While his daddy was full of hatred and vindictiveness, his son was loving and kind. And while his daddy had a bunch of laws that you had to do, his son said, oh, forget all those laws of my daddy. You're free. If I set you free, you're free indeed. And so since the son received all the power from the father, now the son don't have to obey the father no more. We only have to obey the son. But hold on. The son then said, I'm giving you the Holy Ghost. So now we don't need the son because he's gone. I don't need to talk to him anymore. I have the third God. I have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost being the last God has to be the greatest God. So I can actually live by what I call the Holy Ghost, even if what I'm doing by this Holy Ghost contradicts what the son has said or what the father has said, because he's the last one. He's the only one I have to really beware of is the Holy Spirit. That's why most churches say things like, well, based on how I feel led of the Spirit, I don't see why I have to do such and such in the Bible. So can you see the satanically infused spiritual evolution that has become built in to our religion, Zion? To where we start off with old, mean, grumpy Papa God, but we happily get his happy-go-lucky, nice and calm son God who would never hurt a flea. to this spirit God who's just sort of abstract, and he works with everybody on an individual basis, and what he says to you may not be what he says to me, but it doesn't matter because he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me, and we all have our individual spirit. So you can say baptism this way and you say this way, and I say speaking in tongues and you say no miracles, but you know what? You're cool because the Holy Ghost is working with you like that, and you're cool too, and we all good, you know. We have heterosexual communities, and then we also have homosexual churches and stuff now because, you know, we all got the same spirit. It's about love and kindness. We ain't under that old mean daddy God. See how we, did you catch what I said, Zion? How even though we don't say it, in practice, we believe three different gods. John, who Yohanan said, are you out your mind? In the beginning was the Word. Now, in the beginning was the Word, Dabar. The word logos was taken from the Hebrew word debar or devar. And when we open the Bible, we see the Word. That the Word was with Elohim, mm-hmm. because remember he had his own word. Mm-hmm. And the Word was Elohim. The same Word was in the beginning with you. The Word of Elohim has to be Elohim. That's all I'm trying to say. When you speak your words, what you're speaking is the contents of your heart. Mm-hmm. That's how words are produced. In the Bible, the heart was not necessarily, I'm sorry, in the Bible, the brain was not necessarily considered the center of a man's being or the true man. The true man was the heart of the man. Mm-hmm. Can I give you an example? Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought something one way, but then did another in your life? Have you ever thought right and then did wrong? Mm-hmm. Have you ever logically came to a conclusion that would make sense, but then you ended up doing the thing that didn't make no sense at all? Yep. Y'all get that? Mm-hmm. So you gotta know then that the brain is a tool. But the brain does not necessarily rule the man. Mm-hmm. Because you can, I'm talking about the thinking. Yeah. The thinking part of a person, right, can say, I know crack is whack. And it's going to put me on the streets, but I need a hit. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is the heart overrules the logical thought processes. Mm-hmm. So I want you to see something. Mm-hmm. So the Bible does not necessarily, now I'm not saying they're concerned about your thoughts. It just knows your heart can fool you and mess you up. Your heart can say, I know this, but don't you really feel this way, love this way, want to do it this way? And you end up doing it like that. It's just true.
Right, it's not brain, heart, it's spirit, flesh. Right?
Right. Well, right. I'm using it in the English terms. That's a good point. I'm trying to use English terms. See, when we talk about brain, we think about thought in English, right, the way we think. When we think about heart, we think about feeling. In the Hebrew, when they think about heart, they're talking about the person. Mm-hmm. The real you deep down on the inside. Mm-hmm. That is composed of your thoughts and all that. But here's my point. The heart reveals the you, not necessarily the you in agreement, what you know or don't know, it just reveals the whole real you. Whoever the real you is, it's coming out your heart. So that's now that's a long ways to go to say that when it comes to Yah, there is never a conflict or a contradiction between his thoughts and his heart and his words and his actions. They are always together and perfect in perfect communion and harmony.
Amen.
He never says, man, I wish I'd have never said that or this or whatever because I said it, but I don't really mean it. Oh, it's not true. If he said it, he means it. His words are flawless. So let's look at this passage. In the beginning was the word was with Yah. The word was Yah. The same was in the beginning with Yah, and then it's with God, who we know is Yah or our Elohim. Then it says, all things, I'll put my glasses. Here we go. All things. I'm sorry. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning. The same. So John takes us to the beginning. And I'm going to get this concept over and I'm going to be through for today. He takes us to the beginning where we first hear the word of Yah. And he says, when you heard him, when you heard the first words out of Yah's mouth, that is what we get in Yahushua. We get Yah's words. So, he proves it by saying, all things were made by him. Mm-hmm. All things were made by who? Let's not make this complicated. Mm-hmm. Who made everything according to Torah, or the first five books of the Bible? Who created everything? Huh? No. I'm not to the books of the law. Based on what we read in Genesis, who is the creator? Elohim.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Based on the actual record, the Torah, our Elohim Yahweh made everything. Mm-hmm. So how does John turn around and say that his word made everything?
Because you just said. The word, the spirit, and Yah, this is
one. Yes. Yes. See, the foundation that he's laying is such a cold-blooded foundation. Mm-hmm. He's trying to show us that Yah didn't have, now listen to me, please. Yah did not have a son in the same manner as like I had a son.
Right.
See, we don't have old man Papa God. Mm-hmm. Who had this nice little bitty baby who came out so nice and sweet, but so different than his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we think of Father God and Son God. It forces our brain into thinking in two gods. Mm-hmm. Father God, Son God. Son of God, Father God. Mm-hmm. John says, I better hurry up and fix this for the Hebrews so they won't get it twisted. It's not necessarily Father God and a Son God. It's the Father choosing to reveal his word through to us through a human.
Wow.
Which becomes the offspring of God or Yah. Anything that comes from us in a Hebrew mind is the offspring of us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I paint a picture here, you'll say, well, that picture he painted came from him. It's his creation. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
It came from inside of me. I took something that's in me, a thought of whatever, and I put it down, and then y'all look at it and go, wow, that's tight. It doesn't mean that that's my son or my child in the Western way of thinking, but in the Hebrew way of thinking, they would say that is a product of that person. One of the things, and I don't want to get off track because I want to get through this little, I'm only going to spend about 10 more minutes. But one of the things that's going to really mess us up mentally looking at this is when we start listening to the descriptions that we get of Yahushua by the epistles, the writers who were explaining the gospels to us. Mm-hmm. One of the writers said he is the visible image mm-hmm. of the invisible Yah. Mm-hmm. Yahushua is the visible image because no man has seen Yah. He was invisible. But when he decided to show, wait, not just his son, when he decided to show the world himself, he appeared as Yahushua. When he was revealing to the world just his words through creation and mighty acts, he was Yahuwah. I-N. He was, I am that I am. The self-living one. That's how I want to be known. But when I get ready to reveal myself to humans as a human, I want to know me as I am salvation. Because I'm coming to save my people from their sins. It was Yah that came to save us. It was not his son that just looked around and went, wow, these people are in trouble because my daddy's so mean. Let me save them and get them away from my mean old daddy. Was not the point. It was the Father himself. Mm-hmm. No, let me say it like this. It was Yahweh who took his own word, and his word became flesh. He's the visible image of the invisible Yah. One passage says that Yahushua is the expressed image of his person. What are you talking about? How can you have a contradiction between Yahushua and Yahweh if one is the invisible image, if one description is he's the word, right? Mm-hmm. And the word was Yah. Okay, so boom, that kills the argument. But the second one, he's the visible image of the invisible Yah. He's the expressed image of Yah. So what we don't have, as I said, is this little bitty baby that's separate from Yah, but it is Yah's word. What happened to Miriam that night had absolutely nothing to do with any type of sexual relationship.
Right.
What he planted in Mary, Miriam, was his word. Mm-hmm. Now I'm finna help somebody here. I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. He planted his word in her like we plant a seed in the ground. So he just put it in there. It's here, take my word. Put his word inside of her. All that he has, all that he is, all of his word, all the energy of his word, and marry him.
It's the spirit.
Huh?
It's the spirit.
Yes.
It's the spirit.
So she's carrying literally Yah's word in her womb. She's carrying the word of Yah. John says, I need you to see something. She's not carrying a separate baby. This is not a totally separate person from Yahweh, but this is Yahweh's word coming forth to redeem us. Because you do know it was his word that called us, his word that saved, his word that married us, his word that chastised us, his word that actually convicted and condemned us. Remember, the Bible says that if we believe not, we're condemned already. Right. But it's also his word that comes around and saves us. I have a sermon where I talk about the importance of the pastor, preacher, preaching the word. Because everything that you need is in the word. If you think of everything in the world that's beneficial to you, it is the word. It is symbolic of our need for Yah's word. Let me see if I can say it better than that. Yahushua, the word of Yah, can be likened to everything beneficial to you in this life. Mm-hmm. For instance, We need light. The word is light. We need water. The word is
water.
We need food. We need shelter. We need. I can go on and on. You know, Grandma even said he's my leaning post. Grandpa said he's my walking cane. One of the writers said he's my strong tower. I can go on and on. They had a way. They had a way of looking at the word as being all we need in every situation. Watch this. And it surpassed even gender. They would say, based on the text, that Yah, his word, is a father to the fatherless, but could also be a
mother.
Please talk back to me, y'all. It's his word.
Yeah.
He could be a friend to the friendless. He'll be stick closer than a
brother.
Talk back to me. See, y'all starting to understand what I mean when I say we don't get another God
right.
when we got Yeshua.
Right.
We got Yah
himself.
When we got Yeshua
right.
just expressed in a human body.
Yeah.
And John is proving it by saying all things were made by him. Not only did he not teach a new doctrine, he could not teach a new doctrine because he's the same Yah. He don't change. If Yahushua would have came here with a different message than Yahweh, we would have had to reject him as Savior. Man, you can't come up here with your own agenda talking about you the Messiah. You can't be against Yah and claim to be Yah in the flesh. You catch that?
In this
first three verses, John was actually acknowledging God's deity.
Yes. So Yeshua's, see, this is why I try to tell, I got some friends who don't believe in the deity of the HaMashiach. They believe he's just a normal person like you and I. And I'm not mad at them. What I want them to see is they're missing the whole I don't want to use the word philosophy, but they're missing the tone and tenor of John's whole message. That what we beheld here was Yah's word made into human flesh. That's what we're doing. Now, he said all things are made by him. I asked this question a couple days ago, and I only got a few more minutes, that is asked in philosophy, and the question is, why is there something rather than nothing? I mean, why are we here? Why is there anything? Why is there something rather than there just not being anything?
Because on Sunday you said something because Yahweh used his word and spoke creation to
exist. Yes, so something is here because Yahweh is here. Yahweh made here, if you want to use that. Something is a result of the heart of Yah. Say that again. Something. Whatever we have. Matter of fact, he said, not anything was made that was made without him. It's a result of the heart of Yah. So when you look at the vastness of the universe and you look at the perfection, not only telescopically, but microscopically, you will see that if you look as wide as you can in the sky, you're in awe. And then you observe what you can with your own eyes here in this planet, flowers and trees and birds and all that, you're in awe. Animal kingdom, whatever, winds, waves, whatever. But then you could take take a microscope and you could start looking at things closer, and you could take a leaf and look closer at a leaf, and it gets more and more beautiful the closer you look. You could take a feather from a bird. The bird's already beautiful. You could take one of the feathers and find even deeper beauty as you get closer and closer. Then you can go deeper and deeper, and you start seeing things on a molecular level and on an anatomic level. And it's still mind-boggling to people because Yah has expressed himself in his creation. It is an expression of him. It came out of him. He wanted to make it, and he wanted us to be in awe of it, and that would lead us to being in awe of him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can't find out the stars, you sure can't find him out. If you can't out search out the depths of the sea, you can't search the depths of him. Mm-hmm. You get it? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we can see the stars and recognize and appreciate the stars and the seasons and the moon and the sun and all the things. And it's symbolic of how Yah wants us to. Yes, everything. That's why it's here. It's an expression of his love toward us. He made all things for us as his creature and creation to enjoy for our pleasure. So the word of Yah is the creator and was the agent of creation. And there was nothing made that wasn't made by him. Now humans have taken what he have made and have turned some of the things he made evil. But he never designed for his creation to be made evil for humanity.
Right.
So John expresses what I told you on Sunday, and I want to go over this, and I only wanted this to be 30 minutes, and I'm already at the 30-minute mark, so I'm going to go real fast now. John really wanted us to see in verse 3 that the word of Yah is working, is the work of Yah. Mm-hmm. The word of Yah is the work of Yah. As we see Yah's word, we also see Yah's work. When you see Yah's work, you're seeing his word. So therefore, my brothers and sisters and saints, there is no such thing as old, outdated Bible verses and new and fresh Bible verses or whatever. There's no Old Testament that you can throw away in a New Testament because the testaments are the same. Take it from a person. Don't just take it from me, but take it from a person who has read the whole Bible to tell you that there is no difference. Only people who think there's a difference between what you call the New Testament old are somebody who never read the whole Bible or don't understand the Bible, because you can't read the New Testament without seeing it reflecting the old. It is the Old Testament explained. Mm-hmm. Just like this verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah, is parallel to Genesis 1:1. So you can't even start John's book unless you're familiar with the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1.
Amen.
So now, on the other hand, we got people who believe in evolution, and I mentioned that before. Evolution has come into the church, and we believe evolution, which is sad. We believe that God, I'm using that word, evolved from a mean father God to a cool son God to a fantastic spirit God that allows us to do whatever we want as long as it's by his spirit. There is an evolution. And therefore, we don't have to follow the son. We don't have to follow the Father. Only thing now we have to do is be led by his spirit, which we think is a whole totally different God. I don't have time to talk about that tonight, but the spirit of Yah is his laws.
Yes, it is.
The spirit of Yah is the laws of Yah. When you talk about his spirit, we're talking about his laws. Remove his laws, you don't have his spirit. His spirit and his laws are the same. The laws are spiritual because they come from him. And we get a chance to see that when we study that, we'll get deeper into who Yah is and how he operates by his spirit all the time. I don't want to get off track. So just know that, okay. We also don't believe in what's called partnership creation. Yeah, I'm throwing that out for you. I tried to find a word. We don't believe that the devil made some and Yah made some. Because there's a teaching going on now saying that the devil actually had his own creation that clashed with Yah's creation. That's the idea of the whole yin and yang. The devil, the dark against the light. The devil against God. No, we don't believe in that. We also don't believe that God, as three different individuals sat down at a table and said, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Well, let's flip a coin. Let's come up with something that we all three can agree on. That's not how the Bible operates. Complete unity. Somebody said, well, what about when it says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness? I said, okay. Us, the Elohim. It's a singular plural. Don't trip. We have those all the time. We just don't recognize them. But watch this. In our image and our likeness. And let him have dominion, right? Mm-hmm. And so it says that Yah made man mm-hmm. in his image. How come it didn't say, and Yah made man in their image?
Right. In his singular plural.
Singular. Said, let us make man.
Right.
Then the text right after that said, so Yah made man in
his.
Ooh, I got some Bible students in here, bro. Y'all making me. I'm going to come back next week. I thought I was through, but I'm coming back next week.
All right.
So Yah made man in his singular. Mm-hmm. Don't try to. You can't search out the depth of the Most High. Yah. He made all things. And I mentioned this already, organic and inorganic, inanimate and inanimate, material and spiritual, rational and irrational. And there was nothing made that wasn't made because he is life. So I mentioned this. Give me 4 minutes. I'll be done. First point. I told you this on the first day. And that is that means that Yahushua is older than the universe. He's older than creation. Mm-hmm. Bethlehem is not his beginning. I try to tell people all the time, man, this ain't no new religion. Don't come telling me Christianity, well, Christianity might be, but don't tell me that the faith of the Bible is 2,000 years old. Man, are you crazy? Yeshua is older than creation. He has to be. If he spoke creation, the person who spoke it after you'd be older than it.
Mm-hmm.
He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's older than his creation. So, trying to figure out how old creation is in order to find out how old he is will still not work. Even if you say that the creation is 600 billion years old, then he's older than that. Matter of fact, he's called the Ancient of Days. Yeah, right, he has no beginning, and he has no ending. Yahushua did not start at Bethlehem. That's John's whole argument.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. If he made the universe, he's older than the universe. That means he's greater than the universe. Y'all remember that point I brought out in the message? Right. He is greater than the universe. Amen. I'm about to say something that's so heavy. He's not even subject to the universe. The universe is subject to him, though.
Yes, sir.
Now, don't you try that. No, I mean, he can say to the sun, just stay up there. He can say, don't shine.
Right.
Don't move. He'll stand still.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell water, y'all, split open. And just split.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the children walk across on dry land, safe. And when the enemies are pursuing, the same word is, oh, come back together now.
Mm-hmm.
And the sea just crashed down and boom, kill them all. That's why I like what the song say. Mary, don't weep. Martha, don't moan. That's why this ain't no trippy situation. Y'all done forgot about Pharaoh and his whole army? In other words, y'all can do anything. I know your brother Lazarus died and you all are broke down. But you do know the universe, he's not subject to the rules, laws, and regulations of the universe. They're subject to him. He can speak to the dead and the dead will get back up. And she said, oh, I know. I hear you, Yeshua. In the resurrection, remember I told you everything that we need, he's that personified? She said, I know he'll get up in the last day in the resurrection. He said, Mary, you do know I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not just a day. The resurrection is a person. I'm the resurrection and the life. Right. He who believeth in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. They still didn't believe him. He said, oh my goodness gracious. Y'all done brought me to tears. And Yeshua went to weeping. They said, oh, he must really loved him. He was like, y'all still don't get it. It ain't about Lazarus right now. It's about what's happening in this camp. Mm-hmm. All right, move the stone. Immediately there was a protest. You know who did it too. Mary and Martha said, hey, whoa.
Hey, he been dead.
We miss him and everything, but 4 days, man. Yeah,
he's smelling bad.
Right. His body is decomposing and he's stinking. Leave it. No, we cool. He said, no, move it out the way. Because I see now I'm going to have to show you that I'm not subject to the universe and the laws of the universe. I made the world. I give life. I'm Yahushua. I'm Yah. Yeah. If I speak, a man can stand up and live. I speak, he'll lay down and die. Mm. But I can speak again and that same man will stand back up. I'm starting to appreciate the old preachers. You know, they had some concepts wrong, but they had some concepts right. They said, how come he didn't just yell into the graveyard, come forth? He said, if he'd have just yelled, come forth.
Yeah, all of them.
Everybody
would have. Woo! Adam would have touched Eve. Did you hear it? He called him by name, Lazarus. He has it. Matter of fact, he said, even if you destroy my body, he turned water into wine. Between pouring in and drawing out, it's in the Bible. He walked on it. He told it to behave, be still. Remember, it was blowing, about to take the ship under. He said, hey, put a muzzle on it. I can go on and on all the miracles. He gave sight to blind. Why? He's not subject to the laws of the universe. They're sent to him. He's greater than the universe. An architect will always be greater than his building. An author is always greater. Jazz is an author. And I was telling him, we talk about this oftentimes. One of the reasons that we don't have a problem producing is because we know that the product is less than us. The product is not equal to us. She makes a book. It is a reflection of her, but it is less than her. Mm-hmm. In other words, she can make another one. Mm-hmm. If I draw a picture and somebody tear it up, I draw it again. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the creator is the one with the power. We don't bow down to the creation.
Right. No.
How many of y'all would be scared of a lion if he came in this room roaring? Would you be scared of a lion right now? Mm-hmm. What about a bobcat if he jumped through the window and started going after him?
I'd be scared of a rat pop-up.
Then, what about a bear? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw a grizzly bear standing up, and a man was barely like to his chest. That bear came down here, and that bear was like up to here. Yeah. Wow. And fear just, you know, was shoot through a man's spirit. If he could run up on a bear or a lion or anything. I'm talking about a creek. Wait a minute. But who gave the bear his strength and his claws and his... Who designed it? Who put the muscle structure? Who put the teeth in the lion and the... Who made him the king?
Yeah.
You got to know that a lion would be like less than a kitty cat to Yah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not... Y'all made him. It was like, I'm just going to make a bunch of things. I'll make an elephant just for fun. Then I turn around and make an ant because I'm just like that. That's why while Yeshua was here, he was never rattled by anything. Lack of food? Okay, I'm the one who made the seeds in the first place. I don't have a problem with you. You worried about bread? I could take anything and make bread. Where's that boy go? hey man, can I see your little lunch? No, I'm hungry. Well, give me that bag. Okay. You know I need a little ass. Okay, but that's all I had. You've been out here preaching all day, my stomach growling. Now you're gonna take my lunch too? He said, y'all sit down and have this little boy sit down too. And then he breast it and he broke it and he just started passing it out. And the Bible says 5,000 men plus the women and children. So he's not affected by the things that we get affected by because he's greater than his creation. he's greater in its extent and, oh my goodness, my last point, he's greater than that. Y'all taking notes. And he's the owner. That's my last thing. My computer just went dead. And he's the owner. So, he's older. He's greater. And he's the owner. Let's take that last one. I'm done. The owner of the universe. It's his. And there's several Bible verses that will explain that the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. When you look at the sun, moon, stars, you're looking at what belongs to him. It's his. This world, the heaven and the earth, is his.
And you gave us Psalm 95:5 to read. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the ground.
Somebody is a Bible student in this room. It's his. He made it, and he formed the dry land. It's his. We are in his world, operating in his universe. We drink his water. We eating his food.
Yeah.
We live. This the world is the bet. Remember, I told you that in Hebrew, the bet. The bet is the house. And the world we live in is the house he made for us. It's his house. That's why he has a right to rule and super rule in the universe, because it's his house. There's a very demonic doctrine out now. I'm done. There's a demonic doctrine out now talking about that Yahweh cannot operate on planet Earth without humans' permission. That he have to ask. Miles Monroe taught that foolishness. While everybody was all sad when he died, I said, ooh, I'm sad too. I'm sad because he didn't make it. He said, Miles Monroe, his whole philosophy of ministry, which made him millions of dollars, was that Yahweh needs permission from man to work on earth. Now, I can't even begin to explain to you and to explore the depth of ignorance and stupidity in that particular statement.
In the beginning, God.
It's his house. The earth is the Lord. We done read that a million times. This is his house. It's his world. Right. He made the water. He made the sea. He doesn't need, first of all, you're not smart enough to give him permission to do what's necessary to run the world, right, because your brain don't know what needs to be done to run the world. How are you going to give him permission to do something that you don't even know need to be done? How can you give him permission to regulate the air and you don't even know how the air needs to be regulated? No, he just has to keep doing what he's doing. The record says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. He has never not been a part of his creation, and he never will not be a part. He's never been outside the creation asking us, the creator, the created, can I come in and bless you? Are you out your cotton picking mind?
Did he say that?
No.
Oh, Miles Monroe. Look him up.
Is he the one that died in the
plane? He just died in the plane crash.
His wife.
I'm going to ask the question, but I don't want to be cruel. Did he ask y'all for that? You talking about he has to ask y'all to work in the... Did he ask him for that plane crash? So he's the owner, which leaves me with this. Now think about it. I can't. You know, this is the fastest time. He owns us then. He owns humanity.
Right.
If he owns creation and we are part of the creation, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, we're made in his image and in his likeness, then he is our master. So when Yeshua came, he came as the king, the master, Yah, to save his own creation. That's when I got to my clothes. I said, you'll never see it again. You will see sheep dying for shepherds. But you're not going to see a shepherd dying for a sheep.
No.
Are you serious? You will see a subject, a citizen, die for a king. Mm-hmm. Happens in wars all the time. Mm-hmm. They go out and fight in honor. But what have you seen just a king die for one subject? Mm-hmm. You know, not going to happen. Subjects are subjects.
Right.
When have you ever seen a when would you see a creation die for the creator? But you're talking about the creator dying for the creation? It's too deep. And John is laying that down for one purpose. He wants you to believe in him, follow him, and trust him. Because of what the extent he's going to save you from your sins, Yah, he wants you to become a believer to see what extent Yah is going to reach you to save you from your sin. Willing to become a man and suffer the penalty of man's sin against himself, just so you can have an opportunity to be saved. That's why he starts the book like that.
That's cool.
Nobody will go to that length. Now, I have four children. I'll die for three of them. But one of them is on his own. And I ain't gonna mention no name. But I ain't got one, but one him. So y'all can just do that. But three of them I'll die for in a minute. Ain't got no problem. But one of them I ain't dying for. He grown. So it ain't no reason for me to even play games. I'm not trying to be that, try to act like I'm all that. I already know I'm not dying for him. Just not. But Yah so love the world. He willing to, not a son that's a pretty good son. My son's a pretty good kid, pretty good fella. He was willing to die for an enemy. The word made flesh there was no limit to his love when it came to redeeming his people back, even if it took the very death of his word made flesh. And that's what happened. He died. And after dying, remember, he's greater than, so, you know, death really couldn't kill him. And the grave really can't hold him.
No.
It's just the truth, because he's the word made flesh. So when the time came, he just got up with all power. Raised by the Father in one verse, it says, raised by the power of the Spirit in another verse. And then another verse says he raised himself up. Again, trying to show you, it's only one. If the Father raised the Son, then you get it? If the Father raised him, his word raised him, and Spirit raised him. We don't have three gods, one.
Right.
Yah raised up himself from the dead. It's cold. And after all that, we still have Hebrews and non-Hebrews who reject him to this very day. Well, look at him and say, no, I don't want you. I want Santa Claus. I don't want you. I want the Easter Bunny. I don't want you. I want Cupid. I don't want you. I want, what's the Halloween? I want whatever. Demons. I don't want you. All right, thank you so much for being so kind. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Yah made everything. Bible study.